life, excuse me, life by the Spirit. Oh, previous to that is verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Father, Lord Jesus, wonderful Holy Spirit, we ask that you would anoint this man with your very Spirit now for the delivery of this message. And Father, that you would visit us and that you might find open hearts and a desire to really learn and to take stuff from today, that the fruit of the Spirit might truly be seen in us and we might truly be those who keep in step with the Spirit. Anoint this man. We look forward to it in the name of Jesus, please. Amen.
Thanks, Craig. Yes, good morning, everybody. Just to summarise where we've come with our series on the Holy Spirit, I'll do a summary and then we're going to have a look at what happens when we are converted. We'll then do a fruit inspection, followed by some growth factors. Holy Spirit, you're amazing. Well, Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with his followers. Holy Spirit is a person and he is God. He comes alongside to comfort and to guide us into all truth and will be with us forever. He not only comes alongside but lives inside us with our own spirit, and his aim is to help us obey all that Jesus taught. And not only does he help us to be obedient by gently chiding us when we sin, but he comforts us when we are downhearted and discouraged. We learnt that the Holy Spirit is also given as a down payment on what we are to inherit when Jesus returns to call his people home. And then we learnt that this third person of the Trinity gives gifts to those he indwells. Not a nice candle or a mug with our name on it, but a gift that lets you be useful in continuing the work that Jesus started, building his church. The gift of the Holy Spirit that we each receive when we repent and believe the gospel comes with power. You and I have the power of God with us and in us. It is this power that changes first our hearts and then our lives. The change is not of our doing. Good soil doesn't make a seed grow. It provides the right nutrients and God makes it grow. We have started a lifetime walk with a holy God whose desire is to present us holy and blameless when Jesus comes. Well, when a baby is born, he or she gets a breath of fresh air, that first cry. A newborn baby gets a new home, a new bed, a new food, a name, a family, possibly brothers and sisters, a Medicare number, a new legal status. In fact, huge potential and possibilities await that baby. When a person becomes a Christian, a change happens in that person. There is a change in their attitude and behaviour. Not only that, but our standing, our status before a holy God is changed. There are several things that happen when a person becomes a Christian. Here are some of them. Saved from our sins. Adopted. Become a child of God. Become heirs with Christ. A friend of God. We're forgiven. Justified. Cleansed by the blood of Christ. Our sins are washed away. We're redeemed. Delivered. Regenerated. Born again. Become a new creature, reconciled, a place is prepared for us in heaven. We receive eternal life, become a priest, a disciple, an ambassador, a servant. We have fellowship with God. We receive Holy Spirit. Baptized by Holy Spirit, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by Holy Spirit. We are sanctified. We are counted as holy in God's sight. We are signed and sealed by Holy Spirit. We are a package that is signed and sealed. We receive a gift from Holy Spirit. We grow fruit of the Holy Spirit. Today, we are all fruit inspectors. Consider as we look at the fruit in Galatians chapter 5. Has this fruit shown up in your life? And if so, how much? I believe the order of the fruit in Galatians is not a coincidence. We know that fruit grows out of a flower, out of a blossom. It seems to me that the first four are inner qualities that grow in you like the blossoms that appear before the fruit. They have that quality that makes them lovely to look at in a person who has them. Like looking at fruit trees just before the fruit comes on. Firstly, love. We know God loves us. Because he sent Jesus to die for us. And Jesus was willing. We can only understand this when the Holy Spirit has changed our stony, hard heart for a heart of flesh that can respond to God's love. This is not a mushy feeling type of love. It's a thought-out decision that is based on God's very own nature. Because we know that God has determined to set his love on us, we can choose to love others and seek their well-being. Now to joy. Joy is being happy about what Jesus has done to give us eternal life. We can have joy about that even when other things in life are not happy. Joy comes from the security of knowing that God loves us. Because it's an inner quality inspired by the Holy Spirit, it can sustain us when our whole world seems black. Peace follows from those first two. It is the Jewish shalom, wholeness, well-being in all areas of our lives. This peace is not the absence of war or fighting. Jesus has made peace between us and God. Sin made us God's enemies, but Jesus makes us God's friends. We have peace with God, and the Spirit gives us peace with each other too. Jesus showed this peace when he was asleep in the boat in the middle of a storm. "Master, Master, we're going to drown." But they didn't. Patience, or forbearance in some of the translations. What is patience? People who are always late think that all the others should have more of it. But patience, this patience, is the inner quality that recognizes that the Holy Spirit is at work even when you can't see him. You can tell someone to have patience, but all that happens is that they stay impatient quietly. Patience is a fruit that is grown slowly in us by the indwelling Spirit. Now I think the fruit that grows out and flourishes and is more visible. Firstly, kindness. You won't find kindness before you see the fruit of patience growing. This is a purposeful caring, this kindness, a sharing of what God has given us. Some people show kindness, but this kindness is of this fruit, this kindness, has a godly purpose to it. This fruit, I imagine, would be juicy on the inside with a skin you could eat. Then comes goodness. Because goodness stands out, this would be a bright, shiny fruit. It desires to do things that benefit others, things that are helpful and will have a direct impact on the things that are wrong in this world. Then this faithfulness, another word for trustworthy. This fruit is one that everyone would enjoy any time. When people see kindness and goodness growing on us, they will feel they can trust us. They see we are loyal to God and will be loyal to them. This fruit mirrors a God who keeps his promises. Then there's gentleness. Gentleness is when a strong person is careful not to hurt anyone, but uses his strength to care for others instead. God is the strongest and most gentle person. His Spirit makes us gentle too. This fruit is strong on the outside, but is soft and sweet inside. And then comes self-control, the last of the fruit mentioned here. The Spirit gives us power over our own sin. When we want to be mean or unkind or retaliate, we use self-control to do the right thing instead. How easy it is to snap back at someone who says something nasty to us. How easy a single comment can turn into an argument, then into a fight, and then even to something worse. I was at a union rally once while waiting for the meeting to start. I happened to disagree with the shop steward, and he got very angry and threatened to punch me. Fortunately, I was able to make a quiet reply, and his anger subsided. And we later became friends and worked together in the same office. What's that proverb? A gentle answer turns away wrath. It worked in that case. I wanted to just refer to the living water. Jesus told the woman at the well that she could have living water. And I wondered, where does that living water come from? What does it do? Because plants need water to grow. Do we need water to grow in our life, grow the fruit in our lives? Of course we do. So what is that living water? John chapter 7 explains it. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So the Holy Spirit that has been poured into us is the living water that enables the fruit to grow in our lives. We have to deal with the fact that our own sinful nature is still present in each one of us. When was the last time that you were angry? Got upset? Yeah. Why is it so easy to be upset and angry with those who are close to you? Yeah, because you let your guard down. Can self-control be the answer to bitterness and strife? If so, why is it so hard to achieve? Why does Paul have to encourage the young pastor Timothy to have this fruit of the Spirit? Where he says, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." It seems to have been a universal problem, for Paul talks about it in all his letters to the churches. This sanctification process is obviously a tough one. Paul says in Romans 7, "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." What? Paul had a problem with sin? Why doesn't he grow more spiritual fruit? Paul didn't just talk airy-fairy stuff in his letters. He knew from experience the battle he was in. Jesus had to battle temptation when the devil tested him in the wilderness. But that wasn't the only time he had to decide his way or his Father's. Hebrews 4 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin." Why didn't Jesus sin? I believe there's two reasons. One, because Jesus, from childhood, knew the scriptures. And two, because he listened to the prompting of Holy Spirit. For a plant to grow, it needs watering. For us to grow, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. That means we have to put to death those things that were mentioned in our scripture reading. We all know what those sorts of things are. We have an enemy who seeks to make us fall. John Prince talked about the book The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. If Screwtape was a real senior demon and Wormwood was a real junior demon assigned to screw us around and stunt our growth, Screwtape would be saying to Wormwood, "Distract them from reading that book of theirs, and trip them up so they don't listen to you know who." Jesus said, "Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, the truth that is recorded in the scriptures. These scriptures make us wise. We need to treat them like gold. Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper, our paracletos. He is not our accuser. If Jesus has already paid for my sin, I do him no honour by saying there is something I've done that he didn't die for. All our sins were nailed on the cross. Praise God and thank you, Jesus. If we don't acknowledge our sin, if we continue to sin, or if we refuse to accept God's forgiveness, we give the devil that foothold that makes it easier for him to trip, trap, or make us stumble some more. The devil wants us to feel guilty, feel ashamed, to feel down and lose our joy. He wants us to think that our Heavenly Father doesn't care, doesn't love us, especially now that we've sinned. How far from the truth is that? God knew us before we were born, before time began. And he loved us already. He's not going to stop now. We have been signed and sealed by Holy Spirit. But we need to be honest with God. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about grieving Holy Spirit. Do not grieve Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Oh dear, is there something else we have to watch out for? Let's look at the context of this to understand. He talks about putting off falsehood. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't steal. Get a job so you have something to share with the needy. Do not give the devil a foothold. He goes on, watch what you say to you so your words are always helpful. Get rid of bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, and malice. Do not grieve Holy Spirit. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in God, Christ, God forgave you. That's all the same sort of things Paul wrote in Galatians 5. Just letting our old selfish nature come to the fore is going to grieve Holy Spirit. So how can we ungrieve him? How do we make it right again? Acknowledge the sin. Apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And praise God. Too simple? Just look again at Ephesians 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It says, you were sealed. This sealing was a once-off, past event. So we are still sealed. But the next verses tell us the right and proper things to do, things that we already know and want to do. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In other words, allow the fruit of the Spirit to come out. God forgave you, forgive each other. Implicit in that is to forgive yourself. Paul says Jesus bore the punishment for our sins in his body on the cross and made it possible for us, with the help of Holy Spirit, to overcome our natural passions, all our selfishness. So, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Holy Spirit is on our side and he mirrors the Father's love. Jeremiah wrote some beautiful words of encouragement. I'll finish with this. When things were about as black as they could be for him, he wrote, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.